You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Zach's upcoming season of The Bachelor and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up? Welcome to podcast number 320. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Good show for you today. First time ever on the podcast, we are joined by the co-hosts of the Rose Pricks podcast, Stephanie Wilder-Taylor and Cecily Nobler. Good talk with them. We'll get to that momentarily. So a lot is happening on Thursdays now because of the Sports Daily podcast, which posted an hour ago. It's a completely different feed than Reality Steve, so check that out if you're interested. I've included the link every day when I tweet it out. I also put it in my Instagram stories. The Daily Roundup was posted on my Twitter and Instagram stories earlier today. We really talk about the launch yesterday, the TikTok live performance from Jesse Palmer to announce Zach's women officially. It was a train wreck for the first 10 minutes. It was a disaster. I don't know why they chose to continue to air it. Maybe production, even though everybody in the comments section, every single comment was, the sound sucks, it's choppy, it's cutting in and out, what the hell is going on? It took them 5 minutes to tell Jesse, oh, Jesse, get off Wi-Fi. The sound is cutting in and out. He goes off Wi-Fi, didn't change anything. They went on for another 5 minutes. And then they just said, you know what, we're going to stop this. We'll come back. And 30 minutes later, they came back on, and the sound was fine, and they went through it. But anyway, the whole thing was comical. My quick thoughts, I gave them all in the Daily Roundup, but my quick thoughts are, as a little summary, number one, Jesse, all he does on this show is read verbatim, word for word, what's on the BachelorNation.com page that posted the bios and headshots of the women. He just sits there and be like, okay, Allie, number one, 25 from Atlanta, Georgia. She loves this, 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 and this. Fun facts about her. And then he reads it. That's it. That's all that thing is. Will he add a couple things in there of what happens during the season? Yeah, but he doesn't give anything away. It's just like, oh, watch out for her, or she really likes this, or this comes up this season, you know, something in their bio that ends up happening this season. Like with Allie, he said at the end of talking about her, he said she gets to do something this season that he never got to do in his life, which is something, if you follow the spoilers, you know that Allie got to, what's the phrase that I'm looking for? They jump out of a plane, skydive. Totally blanked on the word. Sorry. They got to skydive and then landed in Santa Barbara and went to a winery. But that's what I mean. So he'll say something like, oh, she got to do something. So he's not really giving anything away. But seriously, it was 30 minutes of him reading off a screen. And it's not like he had it memorized. He's sitting there. You can see his eyes just looking at a screen, reading what we can all read if we would have went to, if they would have just tweeted out yesterday, hey, everyone, the headshots and bios are up of Zach's women. Go to BachelorNation.com and read about it now. We would have done this. We would have got the same exact information that we got out of watching Jesse yesterday. I gave up after about halfway through. I'm like, this is pointless. I'm not wasting my time here anymore. And I left. The other thing that I wanted to make clear, and I know people are going to do what they're going to do, and plenty of podcasts, including my guest today, the Rose Pricks. We recorded this earlier in the day. I probably should have maybe drilled it into their head a little bit more, but they're going to do what they want to do, and they're not going to be the only podcast that literally will dedicate one, if not two episodes to breaking down these bios by the women that are on BachelorNation.com. And I'm here to tell you, the bios aren't real. It's all written out by a producer. Those fun facts, they're not true. And I know this because, well, past contestants have told me. Like, I never wrote that. I never told a producer that. I never wrote that. So, in any sort of application that I was filling out for the show. So, you're going to have podcasts in the next 2 weeks leading up to Zach's season, literally taking each girl, one by one, 30 women, going through them, forming their opinions based on what they wrote as their fun facts about themselves. And some of them, I know, Some of these hosts are going to say, oh my God, I can't believe they put that as a fun fact. That's so dumb. That's so stupid. Yeah, they didn't. Producers write that stuff. It's not even true. So I don't think that's going to change the whole industry in terms of the podcast people that are going to do recap shows of the bios and the headshots, but it's kind of silly when you think about it because you're literally spending time talking about something that isn't remotely true. And these women never said nor ever wrote down. It's something production assigned to them for God knows what reason. Like one of the fun facts, I don't remember who it was, so-and-so loves hot dogs. And I'm sure someone's going to have a take about, oh my God, they're a hot dog person. That's so embarrassing. And all of a sudden, no, she never even said that. So that's what I mean. It's just, you're literally starting the whole season. The whole first impression that you're giving out to the audience is starting off on a lie. Because these women never wrote that and never said it. And you can ask any past contestant about their bios. I didn't write it. I never told them that. I never told them I like hot dogs. I don't know where they got that from, you know, whatever. I don't even know who said that on the, I just know that's one of the ones on the bio this year, but someone else had one about, she doesn't like it when trash is left on the sidewalk. Okay. I get that if people don't like it, but who in their right mind would ever write that if they were filling out an application, knowing they were going on a very popular reality show, would write on an application fun facts about myself. I don't like it when trash is on the sidewalk. It's because they didn't. A producer did. So, I don't know. That's why I gave that up about 4 or 5 years ago when I first found out that those bios weren't real. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to spend any time talking about them. It's stupid. I'm talking about something that's not real. They didn't say it. They didn't do it. I can't attribute it to them. So why am I going to make fun of them or agree with them or whatever based on their bios that they didn't write themselves and has nothing to do with them and is made up by a production team? So yeah, but like I said, it's not going to change anything. I'm sure all these people are still going to do their podcast, which is fine. I'm not telling them not to. I'm just saying maybe take a step back and, I don't know, not dedicate as much time to it or you don't even want to say have fun with it or take it with a grain of salt because I don't know how to say it's not true. So why would you even spend any time on it? But they're going to. I'm just telling you, it's not true, so deal with it, I guess, and people are going to do what they're going to do. I stopped doing it 4 or 5 years ago, and that's not to be like any sort of patting myself on the back. I'm just saying, like, if it was real, yeah, I'd talk about it. I'd be like, oh my God, look what this girl wrote on her bio. But yeah, I used to do that all the time, and now I'm just like, no, why? She didn't write it. And the other thing is, you'll hear me talk about this with the Rose Bricks today, and even talking about how they're going to do a 2-episode podcast breaking down the women's bios. And I probably should have been like, I probably should have stepped in and been like, hey, do you know this? And I didn't. And so everything you just heard me say, you don't hear me say when I talk to Rose Bricks. So sorry about that. I should have verbalized it more how silly those bios are. Anyway, today's podcast is brought to you by Green Chef. Green Chef makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. You're looking to kickstart a keto diet in the new year? We're making it easier for ever before to keep keto with their brand new limited time keto kickoff 2023. Now you can find keto recipes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, plus meal bundles at the Green Market. Keep keto the easy and delicious way. Like I said, not just keto, but you've also got paleo, vegan, vegetarian, fast and fit, Mediterranean, and gluten-free. I'm telling you, they sent me a new box towards the end of the calendar year. I got it last week. And I made the brown butter pork chops, and it is my new favorite meal that these people make. It is unbelievable. Did it in about 25, 30 minutes. It's brown butter pork chops with mashed potatoes, maple glazed apples and carrots, and toasted pecans. I'm not a huge pecans fan. I left that part out. But the mashed potatoes, the maple glazed apple and carrots, and the brown butter pork chops over the mashed potatoes, so good. Literally my favorite meal. I guarantee you, anyone that gets that in their box, I guarantee you, you will like it. I dare you to tell me, Steve, I made the brown butter pork chops. Eh, it was okay. Or eh, I didn't like it. No way. I'm telling you right now, you will love it. So for you readers and you listeners, go to greenchef.com/realitysteve60. That's a new code we got, realitysteve60, and use that code, realitysteve60, to get 60% off plus free shipping. That's greenchef.com/realitysteve60. Use code realitysteve60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. All right, let's get going. Here we go. Podcast number 320. All right, let's bring them in. We are joined by the co-hosts of the Rose Pricks podcast. It is Stephanie Wilder-Taylor and Cecily Nobler. Ladies, welcome. Great to have you on for the first time.
Thank you, Steve. We're so excited. We love your podcast. We love your column. We like getting all the dirt.
You just don't want spoilers. You're not a spoiler.
I try not to get spoiled. Sometimes I can't stand it, and I just towards the end, I'm just like, I have to know. But I like to not know. But I do like the dirt on the contestants. Mm-hmm.
I hear you. Let's get started with your history. Stephanie, tell the audience how long you've been doing the Rose Pricks podcast, what made you want to do it, and the inspiration behind it. Well, other than the show itself, but what made you want to do a podcast surrounding this shit show?
So I had already been doing a podcast called For Crying Out Loud for a few years with my co-host Lynette Carolla. But we had on Ronnie and Ben from the Watch What Crappens podcast, who talk a lot about reality TV. And Ronnie and I got along really well and decided we wanted to do a podcast together. And I'd been watching The Bachelor since season one. I thought it was a fascinating idea. I loved it. Season one, I'd been watching for every single season. So I mentioned that one to Ronnie. He thought it was a funny idea. So we started JoJo's season, I believe, was our first season, and I've been covering it ever since. And then Ronnie, he goes on the road all the time. He tours with his other podcasts. So he moved on. And then Cecily and I have been friends for, God, over 20 years. Mm-hmm. She's hilarious. She's a comedian. She's a film critic, and we have like hours long conversations, and we always talk Bachelor. So she was like a natural replacement. And so, yeah, we've been doing it the last few seasons together and having a good time.
Makes sense. Cecily, when you go over this show, and obviously, I don't know how long you've watched it, if you watched it from the beginning, but regardless, do you have any favorite seasons that come to mind in particular? Favorite contestants, anything like that?
Oh, yeah. You know, I was thinking about this, actually, and I was, like, trying to kind of come up with a joke answer, which was that it was Juan Pablo. I'm like, oh, it's Juan Pablo. That's my favorite. But then when I thought about it, for real, I really do think that was one of my favorite seasons because, first of all, I've been watching since not the very beginning. I think I've missed the first two seasons, and then I was in since then. Every single offshoot of the franchise I've watched and love it. But what I liked about him in particular was like, he didn't know how the rules were played and he didn't care. I kind of liked it was sort of like a little break from the earnest. Stephanie and I both talk about this. We don't love how earnest people can be. We like a little snark, a little absurdity. And I think he brought that. I know he wasn't taking it seriously and a lot of people would disagree with me on that, but I really loved that season for Bachelors, I guess.
Well, I mean, I agree with you in the fact that he was totally naive to television, the process. Hell, yes. He didn't even speak the greatest English, and I think they took advantage of that. I think they harped on that and wanted to get somebody that they could completely control, and he was just like, that season was the behind-the-scenes stuff that I had heard about that season and him putting up, him not even understanding what the ending of the show was. Like, he had no idea.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, he didn't understand.
He didn't know you were supposed to propose at the end. He had no idea. None.
Oh, God. Is he okay now? Where is he? Is he single? Do I have a chance?
I have no idea what has happened to Juan Pablo. He's appeared in stories here and there. I think he got engaged at one point, but then I don't think he is anymore. So I don't really know what he's up to. But you know, he's out there. I know when Claire's season started and she was named the Bachelorette, he had a tweet that ended up being covered by Us Weekly and People because it sounded like he was kind of taking a shot at her or something like that. But other than that, he's kind of stayed out of things in regards to the Bachelor franchise.
He's off just living his life. But we also talked about Allie a lot, Stephanie and I, really quick. Like, that was for real. That's way, way back. But that's probably my favorite for real Bachelorette because she was relatable. And we like that, too. We love that about Gabby in this last season. But Allie was the first time that I was like, I could be friends with someone on the show. That's somebody that I actually like could hang with because she was relatable. And I always loved her.
You know who we're forgetting about, though, is Charlie O'Connell. Oh. I love that season. Steve, were you watching all the way back then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Charlie O'Connell was so funny. I thought he was an iconic contestant. There was a scene early on with all the women where he sits down at like a cocktail table and one of the girls is wearing these big sunglasses and like she's very Paris Hilton-y. And he goes, what's up with you? And oh, she puts her purse on the table. He goes, what's up with you and the sunglasses and the purse?
Yes. So great.
I love that.
Well,
then my other favorite is Caitlin. I love Caitlin. I love the fact that she had sex with Nick halfway through. I love that she just didn't give, you know, a shit about what people thought. I thought she was my favorite at that point.
Well, the thing about Charlie's season that was interesting was I think it was coming off some back-to-back seasons of the International Bachelor. Like they had Lorenzo and then they had one of the other ones and whatnot. Or maybe it was before it. But anyway, Charlie's season was literally shot in Montauk, New York. Like, they didn't even bother. They had dates where they literally went to the bar and shot darts. Like, it was just a regular... There was nothing extravagant about Charlie's season unless, I think, he got to the end. They did have overnight dates, and they went to somewhere better than Montauk, New York. No offense, Montauk. But, yeah, they did, like, regular stuff. And, the issue that I think a lot of people have with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette is, yes, when you're taking on a hot air balloon ride on your first date, you think you're falling in love. You're falling in love with the experience. You're not falling in love with the actual person because you barely know them. You're more in love with, oh my gosh, this is such a crazy atmosphere, and you're falling for that. Whereas Charlie's season, it actually was kind of real, but it didn't make for the greatest TV because then you got the people complaining about, really? We're watching people go to bars and date? Like, this isn't any good. So it's tough to please everybody when you're the Bachelor franchise doing these days. But yeah, that was Charlie's season. It was certainly interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, and speaking of people that didn't, like Juan Pablo, he did not feel any pressure to propose to either of those women. I think he decided to date both of them afterwards. Then he narrowed it down to the one girl, and they dated for like a couple of years, and then it ended.
Yeah. And,
which is more of a success story than most of the seasons, really, if you think about it.
Well, for sure. The fact that they got over it. Yeah, they were dating for a while. And then, you know, he was very open about being an alcoholic. And that essentially ended up killing their relationship and whatnot. But they dated for a long time. And I've had her on the podcast a while ago. Sarah Bryce. No, not Sarah Bryce. Is that her name? Yeah. I know her name was Sarah. Yeah, it was Sarah. I can't remember if it was Bryce or not. I might be mixing her up with somebody else, but in the reality TV world. But yeah, no, she talked about it. She was very open about what's funny was when, you know, he gets to the end of his season and he says, I want to date you both. The other girl was Chrisley, who ended up being on Bachelor Pad season one. And he basically never saw Chrisley. So at the After the Final Rose, where he did it live and made his choice, Chrisley was like, because I've spoken to her in the past too, she was like, yeah, I wasn't going to get picked because I had barely seen him in the 3 months and I knew that he was seeing Sarah. So clearly he wasn't going to pick me. So yeah, it was kind of lopsided that he didn't even give them both a chance. But
I forgot about that. I forgot that he dated them. And yes, it was Sarah Bryce.
Sarah Bryce.
That was who it was.
Okay. Good. I'm glad I got it right. What about, Stephanie, for you, what about storylines on this show? Obviously, we talk about seasons and contestants, but any storylines that have stuck out to you over the years that you were just like, I can't get enough of this? Like, whether it was something that was on screen or even off screen, anything like that for you?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I remember with Rachel Lindsay's season, I loved that season. But I always get really fascinated by when it really seems like the person is stuck on one person, and then which also happened with Desiree's season, and you absolutely think that they got their heart broken by the person. That's always what gets me, is if I think, oh, she's in love with Peter. I know it's not Krause. I know that's the guy from 6 Feet Under, but Krause. And then she's crying and inconsolable, and then turns around and marries Brian, and then that works out. Then afterwards, I can't get enough of finding out, like, oh, that was production, and that they manipulated it and made it seem like she was sadder about it than she was. And I'm always curious. I was even asking Cecily the other day, like, what she thinks about that, the Desiree season, how we all thought Desiree was blindsided by, what was the guy's name that left, Chris?
Brooks.
Oh, Brooks, right. And then she was like, okay, that's cool, and married the other guy.
Yeah, and still married today with two kids.
Yeah. Right, so obviously we're not really getting the full story.
No, definitely not. Cecily, for you, anything recent, in recent memory? I mean, you can go back as far as you want, but recent storylines for you that were like, wow, I can't. This is awesome. I can't get enough of this. It could even be Paradise related, too.
Well, yeah. Paradise is a whole different situation, which is just like the twists and turns are exciting. But I agree with Stephanie, because we were just, not to keep harping on way back Ally season, but remember, anytime there's somebody, when someone's cheating, when you find out someone's not who they say they are, which I would think would happen all the time. And Steve, you uncover some of that stuff where you're like, this guy has a girlfriend. Like, it's just, and that happened with Ally, that there was the guy that was no brainer, the guy from Chicago. Steph and I both thought he was super hot.
Frank.
We think his name is Ed. Frank. That's right. It was Frank. He had the glasses.
Yeah.
He was like Chicago guy, whatever. He was so cute. There was no question. It was him. Like, we all chose him in our mind. We did. Anyway. And then the whole conversation that he was lying the whole time. So then she has to go back. She didn't end up, I know she didn't end up with, was it Roberto?
Yeah.
That's who she ended up choosing. And of course she's happily married and moved on. But like those kinds of things, you're like, well, how do you pick up the pieces? And you know, like more recently we talked a lot about Gabby. I mean, we called him Eric because he spelled Eric differently. we call him Eric. Yeah. But she chose him and then found out all this stuff about him after the fact. And then that was a weird one too, because like Gabby never really, she did finally address it, but she didn't address it on camera, right? I don't think, which was weird.
Yeah, it was more, I think, actually she said more on a podcast. Yeah, she went on a podcast post show and was just like, and you know, when she said that, if you don't remember what she said, she even said on the podcast, she goes, yeah, he treated her pretty bad. Like, he was an asshole. And she goes, I don't blame her for speaking out. When Gabby said that and immediately took the side of the woman that spoke out against Eric, I'm like, these two are done. There's no way. Because even in that, moment, even if she believed the woman should have spoken out, don't you kind of got to stick up for your fiance in that point and maybe just kind of say, yeah, you know what, there were some wires were crossed. There was some miscommunication, but Eric and I have talked about it and we're all good. And, you know, she didn't say they were bad, but she was like praising the woman for speaking out. And she said, I would have done it too. And I'm like, okay, this is not something you should be saying about someone you are now publicly newly engaged to, you know?
Well, Gabby didn't play by those rules. And that's one of the things we loved about her. She didn't seem like production couldn't manipulate her. And so I thought that was cool. Like maybe somewhat, I'm sure, but she wasn't going to just like follow that thing and say, okay, yeah, no, I'll just say whatever you want me to say. She was strong. That's why I liked her.
Well, I wanted to talk about what happened in the year 2022 for this franchise. Basically you had three shows. You had Clayton season, you had Rachel and Gabby season, and you had Paradise. So I want to go back to Clayton season. We don't have to talk about it too much, but Cecily, I'll start with you. In regards to Clayton's season, I mean, I'm sure you weren't like, great, I can't wait to see this guy as The Bachelor, because he hadn't even aired on TV yet before we knew this guy was off filming his own season. We hadn't even seen Rachel's season yet, so we had no idea what to go off of, why they even named him as The Bachelor. And but he did give us the rose ceremony from hell, and he gave us one of the more confusing endings probably we'll ever see in this show's history. What were your thoughts on Clayton's season?
I'm going to say something maybe different than Steph. He is the one who said "I love you" to two people, right, Steph?
Yes.
No, that was Ben Higgins.
Well,
but he said
Ben
I
did
love
that.
You to all three.
Clayton,
of them.
Yeah,
Clayton did too.
Yeah,
right?
Clayton did it all three. Yeah. Basically, Clayton told all three that I'm in love with you. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I kind of took. I know it was hurtful. I've been that woman. I've been the woman that somebody said that to and somebody else at the same time. But I feel like I think it's so confusing for people, because you're on a show, and like you said, production is kind of, they're love bombing. Production is love bombing, so everyone feels like they're in love. If they're in a helicopter over Malibu, like, of course you fall in love with everybody. And so I think Clayton, I think it's a confusing kind of a, you know, mind F or whatever for these contestants if they're taking it seriously. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like it must be hard for it. Like, everyone kind of comes down on him, like, oh, how can you do this to all these women? But at the same time, he's confused. He may not even know how he feels. So I kind of had a little bit of sympathy for him, where I don't know that everybody did. And you might yell at me for that, but I just feel like it wasn't totally his fault.
No, in the moment, I don't think it's a problem. I think more in the moment when it was happening, it was easy to jump on him. But then to hear him talk post show about his mental health and everything that he has been going through post show, the hate that he was getting online, and basically everybody coming down on him, and you feel like, okay, can people just calm down? It's a television show, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's where you get into this whole, you know, criticism versus, you know, constructive criticism and snarking about the show versus hate. And it crosses the line with a lot of the toxic Bachelor fan base. They don't know how to be snarky and just criticize what's on TV versus taking it out on them as an individual person. Stephanie, am I reading that correctly?
Oh, I 100% agree. People are so extra. But I have a question, Steve,
yeah,
that I've never been totally clear on how this worked. So Clayton tells Rachel, he sleeps with Rachel and he sleeps with Gabby. And then he tells Susie that what happened. Mm-hmm. And Susie says, like, I can't do that. Like, you know, she's hurt, as we understand. But he tells Susie, well, here's the thing. I needed to know if there was sexual chemistry. Like, that was what I need before I can, like, be with somebody. I needed to know, like, you know, I needed to have sex with them. So she's like, okay, I respect that or whatever, but I'm not into it. Then he asks her, well, can you just give me more time? And remember, he asks, like, can we go out on one more date? Or, I don't know, can I go see your parents? I don't remember exactly what happened, but I do know he tries to end the show with her.
Yeah.
And here's my question. If he knew he wanted to be with Susie, like, I don't have a problem really with everybody sleeping with him or him sleeping with everybody. But my issue is, like, if he's trying to say the reason I had to do it, I had this real specific reason because I can't marry somebody without, you know, or propose, then why did he try to end the show with Susie?
Well,
without having slept with her.
Well, yeah, because my guess is, first off, he was probably horny in the moment, and that's what led to it. I don't really know if that was the actual real reason he had to
exactly
do that with Gabby and do that with Rachel. It's an opportunity that's given to you. It's the first time you could have really, like, no clothes on physical contact with somebody on the show. So it's like, I get it why they do it, and there's nothing against it. There is this, you know, this stigma about, you know, sex on this show, but it's like, look, we all know what happens. Can we stop pretending like it doesn't? And it's somebody sinning if they have it on the show. Like, it's not like we're seeing them humping in bed and we're not getting camera footage of it. It's just, okay, they had it.
Why
great,
not?
Big deal.
I know, we should. We want that.
Well, maybe,
I feel like we've talked.
Maybe if it moves to streaming at one point, maybe we will. Not Disney Plus, but yeah, maybe if it moves to streaming, it becomes a different show. But yeah, I mean, I don't know why Clayton did that. I understand why Susie said no, because remember, he basically said, I want to leave the show with you. She was the only one left because Gabby and Rachel had bolted, and he said he wanted her, and she just said no, and then the show ends with The Bachelor getting rejected. First time we've ever seen that in the history of the show, The Bachelor getting rejected at the final rose ceremony. And then we find out a week later, he reached out to her and basically said, look, fuck all these cameras. Fuck all the stuff that production is telling us to do and say and all this thing. Let's just try and talk as two humans who clearly have an interest in each other. And now that we're off the show, maybe we can start something up. And they ended up, you know, they did it. They got together. They were together when the After the Final Rose rolled around. And then they lasted, you know, 6-8 months, whatever it was. And they just couldn't. And, but yeah, I mean, I don't, it's tough to say. Clayton's coming out with a book. Maybe we'll find out more in his book. God. But yeah, it's a very, we all know this. It's not normal. This is not a normal way to date somebody, to meet somebody, and certainly to not fucking get engaged to them. It's just, it's not normal. And I think that's why we get all these wacky endings sometimes where people are choosing somebody and then changing their mind and like, no, I want the girl that I dumped at the end, like Ari did. You know, it's just, it's not a normal process to date. We all know this.
And Jason, yeah. Some of the best stories, though, you can't say it doesn't work, though, because meeting somebody on the show, I think, you know, we've seen it 2 times now where somebody got rid of the person that they picked. That was, I think, you know, going back to your question from before, I thought that was a super interesting storyline. I love that the Jason Mesnick
choosing Molly,
Melissa, yeah, and then going back to Molly. I think that was definitely one of the most shocking After the Final Rose. That was where we were all like, what is happening? And now they're so happy.
Yeah.
Kids, you know, they've been together a long time. And then the same thing with Ari. I don't know why Ari picked Becca in the first place. It seemed like a very safe choice. Cecily and I were talking about this recently. He obviously liked Lauren better, but I remember him saying in interviews that she was just too quiet, or he kept telling her on the show, you know, he wanted her to come out of her shell more. But like, you're on a TV show. Like, does he want her to be an actress? Does he want her to be fake and like have this weird big personality? So he picked Becca, who he clearly wasn't actually all that into, and then freaks out, changes his mind, and now he and Lauren have 3 kids.
Yeah, it's one of these things where, and I don't know if you know this, maybe you know the statistic. I've repeated it a lot of times, but do you know that the Bachelor franchise, so what's his nuts? Zach, our Bachelor this season, season 27. So we've had 26 completed seasons of The Bachelor, and only one Bachelor actually married the woman that he chose at the end, and that was Sean Lowe. We've actually had more Bachelors marry the woman they didn't choose at the end, Ari and Jason, than actually marry the one that they chose at the end. It's only been successful with, I mean, I guess you can call Ari and Lauren are a successful couple, and Jason and Molly are a successful couple, but that's not who they chose. So if we're just going like right. Semantics wise off the show, like how many couples from The Bachelor have gotten married? One. Sean and Catherine are the only couple that has gotten married from this show.
You mean when the guys choose?
Yeah, Bachelor. Bachelor. 26 seasons of The Bachelor. One guy is married to the final woman he chose. Two guys married the number two girl.
That's why it's harder and harder to watch it every season.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, we clearly are just watching for the other drama.
Yeah.
And not for any kind of love story, because it never worked out.
Yeah. No, if you're watching for a love story, you're watching the wrong show. This show is all about casting. This show is all about the dates that they go on, who's catty, who's talking shit about who's the villain, what are they saying? It's for the Shanae's of the world, the Corinne's of the world, the Demi's of the world, the people that entertain you on the show, and that's who you're talking about with your friends the next day, not... Hey, did you see how great Ari was on that date? Like, The Bachelor doesn't really do anything other than just be the lead. And you're talking about when you guys do your recaps, probably not talking about what Clayton said or what Clayton did. It's more about, oh my gosh, did you see you know, Shanae. Because Shanae was the story for the five episodes, six episodes she was on last season. Like, she stole the show.
And Shanae on Bachelor in Paradise was such a roller coaster ride. I mean, one episode we're like, oh my God, do we like Shanae again? Mm-hmm. Is Shanae the hero of this episode? Yeah. And then the next episode we're like, oh, Shanae's back. Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, it is the whole show is kind of, you know, like I said, it's not the normal way to meet somebody, and you're in a bubble and you barely know this person. You ask any couple who has come off this show, they will tell you that the amount of alone time that you get one-on-one with the person you end up choosing in the end is equivalent to about 3 or 4 days if you add up all the hours together. And that's just ridiculous to think that you get engaged to somebody that you know for 3 or 4 days. I remember Jason Mesnick did an interview and he said, I'm flying home from, I believe their finale was in New Zealand. He goes, I'm flying home and I'm engaged to Melissa Rycroft. He goes, I didn't even know what she did for a job. He goes, I had no idea. And he goes, it's just bizarre. And I think that played into it. But then, you know, they got back, they got to talking, and they just realized, hey, we don't really know each other. We don't know anything about each other outside of kind of surface level stuff that we're told to talk about on the show. And yeah, that's not normal. You know, this.
Okay, but he didn't know Molly any better, and he decided he could spend his life with her. He proposed to her on After the Final Rose.
No, he didn't. He asked to date her, and then he got proposed. They proposed 10 months later.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, he didn't. He didn't propose to Molly on. Well, the other thing is that particular season, that, remember, that was a closed set. There was no audience, and they did the whole thing with Jason and Molly and Melissa. Mm-hmm. So Melissa comes out, he dumps her, and then they bring Molly out, and he asks to date her. That filmed in like January when they were on like episode 3 of the show airing, but it doesn't air. That After the Final Rose didn't air till March. So he had been dating Molly from January to March. We finally see that After the Final Rose from 2 months earlier, and then he proposed to her, I believe, in October of that year is when they got engaged. So, no, he dated her like a normal human would date somebody before getting engaged. So, yeah, I mean,
what do you think happened? And this is along those lines. What do you think happened in the fantasy suite with Zach and Rachel? What was the conversation? Was it? I think they had a conversation about politics. Is what I think happened.
Shit, I don't know. I your guess is as good as mine. I mean, it sounded like something. I don't know if it was a political difference or a religious difference. I have no idea, but something was okay. We're two different people, and we don't have the same kind of, I don't want to say morals, but something didn't align. But your guess is as good as mine. That one I don't know the exact answer to.
Can I say, I think Zach, because Zach didn't seem to care. Like, Zach seemed blindsided by it. Whatever it was, Rachel had made a decision and she was being really awful about it. And either she said it in production, we just didn't see it or whatever. But Zach was like, what's wrong? Like, he honestly seemed to not understand. Remember, he was like trying to drink coffee and make like he made a joke. He like did his little Zach voice. And it was like, what just happened? It was so painful, but great. That was great TV for me.
Yeah, he did his little,
do you want
some coffee?
He sounds like,
no.
Yeah, and then his eyes are darting around because he just doesn't even know what to do or say, and then that was it. It made no sense to me. I thought it was like a sexual thing. What, now, Stephanie, why did you think it was political?
I think it was political because, you know, she's a Democrat and she's pretty liberal in her politics, and he's a Republican from Orange County. From a very Republican family. And I think that probably came up, and she was probably like, uh-oh. And let's face it, she probably already wasn't feeling the heat with Zach.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I feel like also Zach is one of those guys that, Cecily, you know, when you go on a date with a guy and it's just not really happening. And then later you realize that they were on a different date than you were on because they send you flowers or they call you the very next day and go, that was amazing. And you're like, no, it was not. I think right. There was a bit of that too, where he was like, oh, I think this is going great. She's going to pick me. And she's like, I don't know what part of I was ignoring you half the night made you think that.
Well, speaking of Zach, obviously his season starting up in a couple weeks, and you know, I don't think he generates a lot of buzz just himself, but as we know, I mean, I've said this for years. When they announced Ben Higgins was going to be our I mean, you have to bring yourself back to that time when they said, hey, Ben Higgins from Caitlin's season is going to be our Bachelor, and Sean Lowe and Chris Soules, nobody was jumping out of their seats for those guys either, but you still watched, and it was still interesting because of the cast. You had interesting characters. So I don't really care about who they name as the lead. It's pretty much the same type of person every season outside mm-hmm. of Matt James. So, yeah, we're going to get what we get, but it's more interesting about the cast. But I do remember, and this is where I kind of call out the hypocritical fan base, I do remember. Do you remember the very first one-on-one that Rachel and Zach went on where they took a stroll down memory lane and they sat in a movie theater and they watched kids' videos of themselves, and everybody online was like in love with this guy, and they said, oh my God, this guy is so great. What an unbelievable first date. And then by the end of the season, they're like, we don't like him. Like, it's like episode by episode, people just have their likes because that person gets the most screen time or a cool date. And it's just like, people just need to calm down. You know?
I agree completely. Yeah.
He was really beloved. He was beloved after that first one-on-one with Rachel. Everybody loved that guy because they were like, oh my God, it's adorable. He's crying on their first date watching videos, and they loved him. And then the show goes on and he doesn't get a lot of camera time and he has another date and then it just dies off because people start liking Eric and Tino better, you know?
Well, I agree. I was one of the people that was like, I guess she's going to pick this guy. Yeah. Wow, I guess we don't even need a spoiler because it seems kind of like a done deal. I don't know who else she's going to like. I mean, sure, she thinks Tino's hot, but this guy, this is love.
Well, we got in an argument about that, Stephanie and I, because she's like, I think Zach's the one. And I'm like, I think it's the twins. I think it's Justin and Joey. I think that's who they're going to make it to the I'm kidding. Like, to the very final moment, those guys. If it's not them, I'm not watching anymore.
Well,
Cecily loved the twins, and she couldn't have. No one was more happy to see them on Paradise than Cecily.
I loved them so much. I still do. I'm obsessed with those guys. I don't know why.
When that episode aired, which was literally the first date of the season, I believe, was Zach and Rachel, her first one-on-one. I did not have the spoiler out at that point. I did not know who Rachel had chosen. So when I was seeing that, that's why that date was memorable to me, because I remember how many people were like, oh my God, she's totally going to pick him, just based on, you know, one date where it was very played up and it, you know, they were crying and stuff like that and watching videos. But yeah, I didn't know at that time. So, but it didn't really, you know, affect me in any way in terms of, well, maybe it is him. It's just like, I don't really use editing of the show to determine, because my spoilers aren't predictions. I'm not guessing based on what I'm watching on the show. I'm trying to find out behind the scenes what happened. You know, I'm trying to find out what happened down in Mexico, you know, not getting swayed by the edit, which a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, seem to be, and it happens to them. But, you know, I'm looking forward to Zach's season. I'm curious to see how it plays out. We're recording this Wednesday afternoon. Tonight, we're going to get the official cast list and release by ABC to the 30 women that are going to be on Zach's season. They were, you know, given out on the Bachelor Facebook page back in September, but tonight is going to be like most of the public's first look at the women on Zach's season, their names, their ages, their cities, and then whatever weird thing they have in their bio about, oh, I have six toes or whatever, you know, we're going to find some stuff out. But you guys, Stephanie, you guys cover this, and it will be coming up on your Rose Bricks podcast, right, where you break down the women's bios?
That's our favorite, absolute favorite part. We take them apart line by line on their bios. We make all the snap judgments. We try to figure out, you know, who these people are. Sometimes their Instagram is still up, and sometimes it's not. So we find whatever website links to their Instagram. Sometimes they make it private by this point, as soon as they're public. But anyway, yeah, we try to go over their. You remember, like, years ago, they would do their bios and they would always ask them the exact same question, and it was like, "What's your favorite movie?" And half of them said, "Oh, Step Brothers."
Yeah,
it was just the most inane.
Half of them.
They did. It was like, it was just so fun. It was like all these people could be like my child. And it's just like, oh, that's so cute. but they're all, you know, they're all 20 basically. But yeah, we do that for 3 episodes and then we try to make our predictions.
Yeah. This season, I can tell you right now, I'm not giving any spoilers, but in terms of the Instagram accounts, every single one of these women's Instagrams is active and public except for one. And I don't know. And I don't know what her deal is. Why she has chosen to remain private. Yeah, she's still private, but she did, once she got back from filming, she did accept people who requested her, but she is private. You know what? Last time I checked, she was. I don't know. She might be public now, but that's the only one. There isn't one. So you'll be able to find out, and you'll be able to dig through all these women's Instagram accounts and form some opinions for sure once you check them out.
Well, I can't wait. We start that on our, that episode will go up next Tuesday, and then we have one on our Patreon, and then the following Tuesday we do the last one, and then the next week is Zach's first episode.
Yeah.
Steve, I wanted to ask you, I've always wondered this. Did you start out as a fan of The Bachelor, or did you just start getting inside information? Which came first?
I started out as someone who watched the show and would recap it kind of the way you guys do, just made fun of it, because that's the only way to watch the show. And I had a website from 2002 to 2009 where all I did was write episode recaps of The Bachelor. And it grew a little bit of a following because people liked the humor and they liked me making fun of them. Now, I mean, some of the stuff that I wrote back then, I can't believe, and I'm embarrassed that I wrote. But then in 2009, I got my first spoiler. And then from then, it's just kind of taken on a different life of its own. And it's become, okay, we're going to him almost like, hey, we don't care what you think about the show. We just want the spoilers. And I get that a lot. And it sucks, but I'm allowed to have opinions for those that have that.
Oh, I like reading your recap.
We love you. We were nervous to even talk to you. You're like a big deal to us. Honestly.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
Please.
So, no, we're fans. We're mega fans.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But yeah, so you guys, so you'll have one episode next Tuesday to break down like the first half of the women, then a Patreon episode, and then a following Tuesday, the next half of the women. And then the following Tuesday will be your recap because the show will start on Monday, the 23rd.
Correct. Yes. Our last few episodes have all been covering season 3 of Love is Blind.
Okay. Haven't watched that one. Never watched that one.
It's pretty good. But there wasn't any actual Bachelor content. But I am a big whore. Like, I will watch it all. I'm probably one of the few people that watch the entire season of Listen to Your Heart. The Bachelor music mashup.
Well, I think we all did, just because, remember, that aired during COVID. We had nothing else going on at that time. We were stuck watching that because it was airing during COVID. And yeah, that was an interesting show. They'll never do that again. I just didn't see the point of combining music with love. It wasn't good.
No, but I was so rooting for, do you remember Rudy? I follow her on Instagram. She had the best voice, and then she liked that guy, Matt, I think his name was. And then he broke up with her. He broke her little heart. And then I thought briefly that they got back together. I saw it on Instagram, but they didn't. They just got back together musically.
Then she literally called him out. They apparently started getting back together dating-wise, and then she called him out and did a whole either Instagram post or a TikTok post where she literally said, and she wrote a song about how he two-timed her, and the whole time that he was getting back with her, he had a complete another relationship going on the side.
Oh, my God. This is such a Bachelor fodder. Why didn't the show work?
Also, yes. And also, it's such bullshit, too. It's like, oh, she just happened to write a song. Oh, it seems to just fall into place a little too easily, which is why I was excited about the Senior Bachelor spinoff that was supposed to happen. I was like, if I wait a little bit, I could go on that. Like, I don't know, I'm like,
wait a little bit. You could go on it now.
You could go on it now, Stephanie. I can't go on it now. We're kidding. Neither of us could go on it. We could not go on it. But I thought, I think they're still doing that. Steve, is that true? Like, they're going to still do the senior one?
They keep saying it, and they keep running the ad for it. But until I see it on my screen, I just don't know if it's going to happen. They've literally been talking about this for over 2 years. Now, I know the first time they started promoting it is right when the pandemic hit. So I get why they had to cancel it. But then they're trying to revive it. But with the Bachelor schedule and the TV schedule and the filming schedule, I don't know where this goes. Put it this way. If this show gets made, I think it's going straight to Disney Plus. I don't think it can air on ABC. There's just no timing I don't see where it goes. Certainly not going to be a Monday night show. I know that. So maybe they put it on a Friday night. I don't know. But
it's seniors, so it's going to be older people watching, and maybe they put it on PBS. Let's put it on the channel that they watch.
Or CBS, since everybody that watches.
Hurry up, though. Yes. Some of the contestants they're picking, they keep doing these ads for contestants, but by the time they film it, some of them are going to have passed away. It's so true.
Yeah, when they say senior bachelor, they're not like, oh, we're going for 45 or 50. They're going for, I think, 60 or over. Like, this is going to be.
I believe, and over.
Yeah, I'm like, this is. I don't know. Like I said, I'll believe it when I see it because they've been talking about this for almost 3 years now. But I think if it does get made, it's going to be on a streaming service. I don't think this is an ABC show. I just don't think the interest is going to be there for a network television show. But who knows?
Well, my interest is there. And I'm whatever streaming service, I'm signing up for it.
Same.
I wanted to end with this. I checked out your Instagram pages, and I found something interesting on each one. So I want to start first off with you, Cecily.
Oh no,
Cecily, do you know what you posted on November 9th, 2022, on your Instagram without looking?
November? Oh God, November. That's not even that long ago.
I know. This is a couple months ago.
Probably something. Something really thirsty where I wanted people to say I was really cute.
No.
I'm going to assume that, right?
No, it wasn't that, actually.
I don't know.
It has a tie to this podcast, and that is you posted a screenshot from one of my all-time favorite movies from 1986, the brilliant John Hughes film, Pretty in Pink, and you posted the screenshot from the library scene with Andy and Blaine, you know, flirting over, Commodore 64 computers.
Somehow they were able to do that when we couldn't do that back then. Yes, that's one of my favorite movies too. I'm obsessed with it. Yes, that's right. It's the picture of Molly Ringwald in her little hat, and Andrew McCarthy still hot. They're both still super hot, by the way. And it's just the most hilarious thing ever because you could not do that in a library computer back then. They say he sends her a thing and it says, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who you are?" Oh yes. I'm glad it wasn't more embarrassing than that. I stand by that post.
Well, the reason I say that is because the theme music for this podcast that's been on the air for 6 years now is straight from the Rave Ups and their song from Pretty in Pink, Positively Lost Me. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and I saw that you liked Pretty in Pink and posted it on your Instagram. I'm like, oh, perfect. You could talk to her about Pretty in Pink. I mean, we can debate Pretty in Pink until the end of time. Do you know the big – okay, first off – let's talk a little Pretty in Pink here real quick, Cecily.
I know everything. I'm with you. I am ready for this because you're going to be surprised, but yeah.
Not an episode of our podcast, either one. We have another podcast called Bored AF. Not an episode goes by that Cecily doesn't make a Pretty in Pink reference.
That's awesome. I swear. Oh, I can tell you anything you want about that movie as well. So here's something for you. Were you Team Blaine or Team Ducky?
Okay, I was Team Blaine. And I still am Team Blaine because I don't think Ducky was ever really in the running. First of all, you know this, that originally she ends up with Ducky in the original script. They shot it. It didn't test well. Is that correct? It did not test well.
Correct.
So they had to do reshoots. They had to do reshoots where she ends up with Blaine. And that's why Andrew McCarthy, it was months later, he was already doing another movie where he had to shave his head. And he had to wear a little wig, which you can tell is a wig, in the prom scene. I get very riled up about this. I don't think Ducky, I mean, I have a lot of Duckies in my life. I have a lot of friends that are my Duckies, but you don't, like, you've got those two. I mean, you're not banging them,
is what you're saying.
I don't think Ducky wanted to really bang her either. I think he thought he did, but I don't think he did.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's a great point. I thought maybe I would get you on that trivia part of it, but you were very well aware of that whole ending scene and the prom scene and how they had to come back and film it after. It tested horribly that she ended up with Ducky in the original filming, and the audience was like, boo. No, we want Blaine. And yeah, so she ends up with Blaine. But Andrew McCarthy, yeah, he had gone to shoot another movie where he had to shave his head. It was mm-hmm. like Prisoners of War or something like that was the name mm-hmm. of the movie. And right. He had to come back. And if you rewatch that prom scene, compare Andrew McCarthy's hair during the movie and you compare it to the prom scene, and it is bad. It is a bad
wig. They tried their hardest. And one last thing about that, I always laugh, even though yeah. I love Pretty in Pink. I love it for yeah. real. I always laugh anytime there's a montage, and so she's sewing, her dad has brought her all these like materials that she can put together a prom dress, and then she finishes it after like this whole long montage, and then it's just it's not a great dress. She shows up and it's just awful.
Okay.
It really is just one of the most awful things I've ever seen.
Everybody that I have, I've showed it to my niece and nephew, and they don't get it. They're too young. They don't get anything in the 1980s. But obviously, my niece commented like, "Oh my god, that dress is ugly." But it was it. I mean, I'm trying to put myself back in 1986. In 1986, would that have been a decent dress to wear, or still
no?
Awful.
No, awful. Absolutely. Okay. I was alive. I was a little younger, but like I absolutely not. It did not go together. It didn't fit her well. I'm sorry. I just thought it was hilarious. It was like a 15-minute montage of sewing this dress, and you think it's going to be the most amazing thing you've ever seen, and then it's just that. Like, what?
Yeah, she was drawing it out, and you're like, oh, wow, this is coming together nice, and she's sewing.
But
she's borrowing material from her friend.
Annie Potts.
Yeah.
Her old prom dress, and she, like, kept it all this time, this amazing dress, and then she just ruins it. She's just like, oh, thank you so much. Okay, great. And then she just tears it apart and makes it that.
Her part. No. Yeah, she just takes it apart. She uses, like, scraps from it.
Yes.
But remember like, oh, when she walked out into the living room, Daddy loved it. He thought she looked beautiful. I guess that's what he's supposed to
like,
say.
And then he's like, he's so excited. He thought she was still with Blaine, and she's like, oh, Blaine isn't coming. It's like, you haven't told him that yet?
Yeah.
But he's just like, the conversation never happened. Oh my God. I mean, I could do this with you forever, because then John Hughes got his big, he wanted it to be Ducky. He remade it with Some Kind of Wonderful, and we got Watts instead of Ducky. So it worked out.
Well, how about
I know that's not...
How about one of my favorite lines in the whole movie when Andy and Blaine are going on their first date and they're walking out of tracks and he says, you want to go chains? And she's like, I already did.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. Ouch. But then you
God.
Just love him more. You what get it. I mean, I got what she... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you watch that movie, and you're just like, Blaine was the guy that I think in high school, if you were in high school at that time, everybody was just like, yeah. I mean, he was way more dreamy. It was just like, basically, do you stick with the guy who's been with you forever versus the hot guy at school? Yeah, you know, regardless of money situation or whatnot. And, but Blaine was, I could see where the ladies were so enamored with Blaine back in the day. All right. Sorry. Some technical difficulties there. Anyway, what I was saying is, now my question to you is, you had Andrew McCarthy. I get everyone's obsession with Blaine, especially teenage girls at that time. However, you also had early James Spader, who was a heartthrob mm-hmm. back then too. So when you first watched that movie, I don't know if you can put yourself back at that time when you first watched it. Who did you think was hotter? Were you more Steph, or were you more Blaine?
You are my favorite person. I don't know what's even happening that we're having this conversation, because I can't have it with many people. I was also obsessed with Steph, James Spader, but he was, I think back then, now I could see it more, but back then I think I was just Team Blaine so strongly. That even Steph, but when Steph is smoking at the school, for some reason, he's allowed to smoke in the hallway, remember?
And drop his cigarette on the cigarette on the floor, yeah.
And he just crushes it with his foot on the floor, and then he's like, yeah, the girl's always been, always will, Nada, whatever. What do you call it? He thinks her name is Eddie. He's like, what's your name, Eddie?
Yeah, even though he's been trying to bang her since freshman year, yeah.
Yes, and we see that, and then finally Blaine sees it, and we all see it at the same time. God, that's such a good movie. It should have won Oscars. I mean, honestly, it should have won all the Oscars. I don't know. Every year it should win an Oscar.
Oh, it's one of my all-time favorites. It's the reason why it's the theme song to my show. You probably don't know this, but when I started this podcast in 2016, That song from when they went to tracks the night that Ducky blew up on Andy and Blaine, the song playing in the background has always stuck with me. And I didn't for the longest time even know the title of it, but I always knew I liked the song. And I always said if I had a radio show or whatever, I always wanted to use that riff for my opening theme music. And so when I decided to start a podcast in 2016, I just Googled the song. I Googled, and it was by the Rave Ups, and I Googled it, and I Googled who the lead singer of the Rave Ups were, and I found him on, I found his manager or something like that, and then the manager gave me his email address, and I emailed him, and I said, I told him exactly what I told you, just a fan of the movie for years, I've always wanted to use this song, can I use your song in my podcast? And he's like, sure, that'd be great. So that's how it came to be. I literally asked the lead singer of the Rave Ups for permission to use the song on the podcast, and that's why it's been used for 6 years. So
yeah. Love it. Great. Love it.
Now, Stephanie.
I feel like you two might be getting married. That's a spoiler.
The meet cute.
To go to my website.
Stephanie, okay, so for your Instagram, this is something that I saw, and it kind of relates to maybe what I'm dealing with right now. I guess it all depends on your answer. But mine's not with a child. You recently posted that your daughter got her nose pierced. So your daughter's 14 or 15? What is she now?
She just turned 15, but yes, she was 14 when she got it.
So irregardless of the nose piercing, the fact that you have a 15-year-old daughter, have you reached that stage now where she wants nothing to do with you by any chance?
Well, Steve, glad you asked. I also have an 18-year-old daughter.
Oh.
And yes, well, there's a thing that happens with children that are late teens.
Yeah.
And it's apparently called shitting the nest. And what it means is that they start acting like they don't want anything to do with you, and they start having, I don't know, like certain behavior. They start getting more distant, and it's to prepare you for them to leave the nest. Mm. So I guess you don't miss them as much. But yeah, it is sort of a natural thing that happens where they don't want to have as much to do with you. But why do you ask?
Well, only because I have a niece who, for the longest time, I was the uncle that took them everywhere, my niece and nephew to the movies, and I was the funcle, and I was the one that, you know, took them the games, took them the movies, all this stuff. And then I just noticed as she hit that teen age and as she got to high school and as she's I think it probably started maybe summer before her sophomore year of high school, it just became everybody around her and everybody in the family is annoying. We don't get it because we don't understand their little lingo. She certainly doesn't want to hang out with her uncle. Just became one of those things where I was like, wow. And I just thought back to the times where I was, you know, put on a pedestal by them. And then all of a sudden they got to that age. And when I'm thinking back to ages six, you know, or four through eight or nine, which for me, those were the best years.
Sweet spot.
I get to that point and then you're never thinking that's going to happen. You're just like, oh, no. There's no way at some point she's going to, you know, not think of me as the cool uncle. And it's like, oh, no, I'm like, whatever now. And it's just amazing to me. And I saw that you posted that and I was like, I wonder if she's dealing with that as well. And it seems like, yeah, pretty much those girls hit that teenage years. And it's just, you know, also just becoming more independent. They don't want to do stuff with the family. Doing stuff with the family isn't cool because they're now in high school. They've got to make friends and be in social circles, and doing stuff with your family certainly isn't cool. No way, you know?
Yeah. Well, you reach a point where everything you do is cringy.
Yeah.
And I feel like I want to tell them, you don't understand. I'm very cool. I have a podcast. Yeah. And they're like, Mom, having a podcast is very cringy. There's nothing I can do anymore to, like, prove my worth.
Nothing?
Except give them money.
Yeah, I was going to say, give them money. But, yeah, so is it a 15 and an 18-year-old is what you have?
I have two 15-year-olds. I have 15-year-old twins and an 18-year-old.
Oh, you have twins at 15. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When I was when they were in those formative years, I just never thought it would get to that point. And it's certainly at that point. My niece now is a freshman in college, and she's home right now for her, you know, her winter break. And it's just different. It's very different. And I just never thought it would get to that point, you know?
Oh, she'll be back.
She will come back around, and you guys will be closer than ever.
And look, I wouldn't even say that we're not close. It's just that everything that the family does, and even I do, yeah, it's everything is, ew, that's so cringe. And it's just like, what? So you're the cool one here now? Like, everything you do is so cool? Like, really? You know, but that's their life. You know, she's a freshman in college, so clearly she's gone away to school, so we did not see her from the time she left in August. Well, the parents did. They went out for parents' weekend, but I have not seen her since August until I picked her up at the airport in December. And it's just a different vibe. It's just cool.
You're gonna be our Funkle. How about that? We accept you, and she will be back.
I mean, I'm the Funkle because I've got, you know, Pretty in Pink trivia ingrained in my head. I know everything about it. So there you go. There's my coolness. There's my coolness to you guys, or at least Cecily. At least Cecily.
Yeah, for sure.
Stephanie,
unfortunately, I've tried to show my kids John Hughes movies. And they, you know, because they're still fresh in my mind as they were when they came out. But yeah, my kids take one look at the, you know, how old it looks, and they're just like, I'm out.
Oh, yeah. No, I tried it with my niece and nephew, and it's just like every time I said we're going to watch a movie, the first thing is, oh, it's one of your movies, right? Like the ones that I grew up with, because I'm trying to turn them onto it. And then it turns into, oh my God, this is 1985. Like, they don't get it. They were born in 2004. So clearly 1985 seems like 1940 would seem to us. That's the way they look at it. And
yeah.
And none of those movies that we grew up with, the John Hughes movies, none of them had any sort of technology in it. They don't understand anything that doesn't have, you know, cell phones and internet. They don't get it. And it's really tough. I think the only one that I was able to really get them to watch that one of them really liked was my nephew enjoyed the Back to the Future, and thank God, because that's an all-timer for me. And he dug that, but anything else I showed them, they liked Ferris Bueller's. I don't think they cared about Pretty in Pink. It was too much of a love story for them. I didn't show them Breakfast Club. I didn't show them 16 Candles.
You can't show them 16 Candles now. Okay. Even though I still, it's a little problematic.
Yeah, that could never get made today.
No.
There are some comments in Breakfast Club that you wouldn't be able to get away with today. Some lines in that, for sure, that I'd have to take out. But yeah, anyway, I appreciate the trip down memory lane for our 80s movies. I'm so glad I looked at Cecily's Instagram before this to check out Pretty in Pink. What was the reason for you posting it? Was it of an anniversary of something?
I have no idea. No. Oh.
She loves it. She posted, love it. She loves that movie.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Andy a lot of the time, even though I shouldn't feel that way. I've aged out of that feeling. I never really aged out of it. I just kind of feel it. I like to wear hats. I don't know. I just love it. And I really do talk about it a lot. So it just popped in my head and I posted that. It is random.
Do you make your own prom dresses? Do you make your own dresses?
Yeah, I make my own. I borrow Stephanie's wedding dress. I took her and I was like, she's like, are you sure you want to take my wedding dress? Because I might want to leave it for like one of my daughters. I'm like, no. And I took it, I tore it apart, I made a cute little jean short thing out of it. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Did you ever borrow any of Stephanie's dresses and cut it up in half and say like, hey, yeah, look, Stephanie, look what I'm going out in tonight.
I mean, yeah,
she got it from the Annie Potts. I'm the Cindy Lauper in the group.
Yeah, no, this is... Well, thank I really do appreciate the trip down memory lane and the fact that I can talk Pretty in Pink with somebody who will
always.
Share it. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, you guys, for coming on. I really appreciate it. Good luck with the Rose Pricks podcast. Like we said, it'll be out. Tuesday will be your first episode breaking down the women of Zach's season. So have fun snarking on them. Really appreciate it. We'll definitely have you on again.
Thank
in the future.
You. And we're gonna force you on our podcast too.
Ooh, good. More Pretty in Pink talk. Can't wait. Line
we'll
it up.
Talk that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Okay.
Thank
bye.
You.
Bye. Thank you so much to Stephanie and Cecily for that. I had seen Cecily's Instagram account and I saw that and I knew I wanted to talk Pretty in Pink, but I just realized I could probably do a whole hour on Pretty in Pink and the scenes in that movie, the cameos in that movie. Andrew Dice Clay is in it. The Blaine versus Ducky debate. Hell, the Blaine versus Steph debate. She's definitely a diehard of that movie if you know that. The ending of that movie with Andy ending up with Blaine was not the original ending, and it had to be reshot because it tested horribly. And by the time they reshot it, Andrew McCarthy had already gone off to film another movie where he had to shave his head, so the whole prom scene had to be reshot, and they put a horrible wig on him. Probably very few people know that. Only diehards of that movie will, and glad that Cecily did. And yeah, all very true in regards to Stephanie having children and what'd she call it? Shitting the nest. That's basically where we're at. situation that I'm in. And yeah, they get older. I know any of you right now that are listening that have a cute little 3-year-old or 4-year-old daughter, 5-year-old, even in 7, 8, 9. I mean, they were fine in those years. Those were great years. Great years. And you just think, there's no way that this little one is ever not going to worship me. I'm telling you right now, yes, it's going to happen, and it's going to suck. They're not going to care. They're going to think you're the most uncool person. Everything you say and do is going to embarrass them. It's coming. So just all I can tell you is anybody, a mother to somebody, to any child under the age of probably 10, 11, 12 right now, just appreciate these years because they're going to do their own thing once they hit their teens and once they get to high school. It's going to be a different world for you. Just giving you a heads up. Anyway, thanks to Stephanie and Cecily again for coming on. Check out their podcast, the Rose Pricks podcast, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you all for listening. Please rate, subscribe, and review. In Apple Podcasts, my daily roundup is up. My sports daily is already up as well. And now you've got 3 podcasts on Thursdays. How about that? 11 podcasts a week I'm doing now. Let's see how long I can keep this up. It's been fine so far, but I've only done it for 4 days. So we'll see how long we can keep this going. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. And I will talk to you next week. See you.